Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. And folks, I'm concerned about the world in which I'm raising my children. I want to hand off a culture that's better than the culture they received. Folks, the family is disappearing in America. The nuclear family now less than half of the households in America, and 37% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. The shack-up rate through the ceiling. People are living alone three times the percentage of those that lived alone 40, 50 years ago. And ladies and gentlemen, the family is not what she once was. And this means that we want to redefine culture, folks. I want to redefine culture on this program, and there are a lot of other people doing it around America. What we want is a biblical social theory, not the materialistic, dink, double income, no kid, yuppie, Marxist, family fragmenting social theory that's been destroying the family over 150 years of our history. We want new cultural expressions, my friends, and that means a biblical law, a biblical social theory, a biblical economics, biblical politics undergirding our culture. And that also means we want a new motion picture industry. And that's why I'm excited with what's going on in San Antonio at the Independent Christian Film Festival down there, where for the first time we've got self-consciously, biblically thinking people who have been rooted in a biblical worldview. That means a biblical epistemology, metaphysic, and ethic, who are out there making films. And that's a great thing. Now, there aren't many Christians who hold a biblical worldview. Only 7% of Christians, according to Barna, hold a biblical worldview. And that's pretty sad. But thanks to worldview academies, camps, homeschool conferences, etc., we're starting to see a distinctively biblical worldview coming through. And a lot of these young people, by the tens of thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, are coming up through the ranks, and they are learning about a biblical worldview, a biblical metaphysic, epistemology, and ethic. And according to the Nehemiah Institute, Christian kids attending public schools and the Christian schools are thinking more and more like secular humanists and Marxists than ever before. Every year, they're more and more humanistic, those who attend Christian schools and public schools. Why? Because they're not getting a biblical worldview in their curriculum. And folks, the major movements in America producing a biblical worldview, according to the Nehemiah Institute, are homeschools. Homeschools. Well, that's why I'm very excited. In 2008, two homeschooled youths produced a full-length feature film that went on to capture the largest cash prize of any film festival in America, $101,000. It all started when they were 16 years old. In 2006, they created the award-winning documentary, A Lifetime of Childlike Faith, which tells the dramatic story of one man's journey in his dream of sharing the gospel with people from all over the world. This success soon found over 10,000 copies of their film in distribution, and they were on the road to bigger and better projects. Well, these young men went on to produce other films. Heartstrings in 2007 won the Best Young Filmmaker Award and the Audience Choice Award at the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival last year. And then in 2008, the team revamped and produced another full-length feature film called The Widow's Mite. The story takes place in present-day America. It follows the struggles of several Christian families to keep a widow from losing her home due to tax foreclosure. That's right, property taxation, where the local tyrants are trying to capture control and ownership of a widow's property, something that's incredibly anti-biblical. If you know anything about biblical law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, I want to interview the 19-year-old and the 20-year-old who took home the $101,000 prize, the largest cash prize of any film in America. Ladies and gentlemen, John Moore and David Huestis next on Generations. Stay with me. I'll be back in a moment. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision. where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with you, and with me are John Moore and David Houston, producers of The Widow's Mite and winners of the largest cash award in the country for the best film of the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival. John Moore, David Houston, welcome to Generations, my friends.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well. And you were doing very well 10 days ago as you walked up to receive the largest cash prize award of any film festival in the United States. That was an exciting day for John Moore and David Houston.
Yes, sir, it was. It was a really, really an amazing time and one of the best experiences of our lives, I believe.
Did you think you had a shot at winning that prize?
You know, it was really interesting, but I didn't expect that. I really was blown away. I knew that we had a shot because we were one of the 8 finalists.
Yeah.
And my dad kept telling me, you know, you really have a good film here on your hands, but it's really hard for me to look at things objectively. So I just figured, no, that we didn't have a shot, and I really was shocked when we did end up getting the announcement right there live in front of, what was it, 2,500 people.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
Yeah, and the standing ovation and the whole thing, I mean, that was just an amazing event. And I think a lot of people were surprised, and yet they gave you the Audience Choice Award as well. I mean, you were ahead of all the other guys by a number of percentage points. You were head and shoulders above everybody else at the festival for the audience favorite for the festival.
Yes, that's true. And so it was really good. I felt thankful for the audience that not only did we receive the Audience Choice Award and that they saw us get that, because they had something to do with that. They were able to vote and they were able to show what they were thankful for. But the judges reinforced that, and the judges of the festival said the same exact thing as the audience did. And the audience was, I've never heard them at that event scream that loud. It was amazing.
Yeah. And yet you took home the Audience Choice Award last year as well, with Heartstrings. These people like your films. What do you attribute that to? Why is that? Why do they like your films? Outside of the fact they must be good, what are they attracted to?
Well, I think what people are looking for is they're looking for intellectually honest films that have aesthetic purity and a strong emotional bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to make films that are emotionally challenging, that are aesthetically pure and don't have any of the vile elements of Hollywood, while being intellectually honest, and the audience can view the films and say, you know what, we can connect with this filmmaker on a very intellectually honest level because this filmmaker is not trying to lie to us. This filmmaker has no pretenses. This filmmaker knows where they're at. They know where we're at, and I think that they connect with that in a special way.
Now, how did you guys get started? It was, 3-4 years ago that you formed the Hugh Moore production company. And so how did you all get together?
Well, that's really interesting, and David can cover that as well, but we actually met in Alaska, just meeting in for kind of a home fellowship every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And David came up with the name, and I'm not sure how that process took place. David, you might want to cover this one.
You and I were talking on the phone and just kind of bouncing ideas back and forth. We wanted a name. We weren't sure exactly what it was. We were going to call it Hugh Moore Incorporated, and of course we had no idea what we were talking about that time.
How old were you at that time, David, when you were talking about your own production company?
John, you were 13 and I was 14.
Okay. So that's where you start. You got to, if you're going to win a major cash award in a film festival, you pretty much got to start when you're 13 or 14 if you're going to win it by the time you're 19.
Basically.
Okay. That's amazing. What incredible vision. Where did you get the vision to start something like this?
I think that when you're raised by visionary parents, as David and I both were, you pick that spirit up. You really do. You pick up that vision. And the other thing is that we're constantly, as families, listening to CDs produced by visionary leaders. We've listened to CDs by yourself, by Doug Phillips, basically by all of the judges. You know, we grew up listening to CDs from guys like that.
Yeah.
We grew up listening to CDs from Christian leaders across the country who are all visionaries, and you pick that up. It really is passed on from one generation to the next.
And you got something in your blood, don't you, John? I mean, you just want to go out there and do something.
Yes, that's true. I owe a lot to the Moore heritage because
yeah.
there's something about that Moore name. Dad has really created something there that is pretty amazing.
Nobody gets to sit around their duff and not do anything.
That's correct.
I get that impression from your father, and we should mention his name, Jeff Moore, a man who's got some tremendous vision and has been a great leader in our movement himself. John, talk a little bit about this particular film. I mean, you started out, a year or two ago with the concept, but this thing took a lot of preparation, took a lot of resources to make it happen.
Correct. We started a very long time ago putting together ideas for various short films that we could produce, one of the ideas being a musical, another one of the ideas being a film about the Moore family producing a film. And, you know, these different ideas made their way onto a very long list. I think we have over 30 ideas for short films. And our top favorites ended up getting melded together into the idea for a feature film that would be a musical comedy about the Moore family producing a film.
Yeah.
And,
which was a great idea because, number one, you're not really probably the most accomplished film producer in America at this point. I mean, that's, I think you can agree with that.
Exactly.
And so to poke a little fun at yourself in the motion picture was, I think, a brilliant move, especially as you're trying to put together your first major motion picture.
Absolutely. And that's where we go back to that thing I was talking about earlier with intellectual honesty. You know, the film admits its own faults. I mean, at one point in the film, Cameron and I are talking about making a movie, and he says, you know what, we just don't have enough people. We're going to have to star in this thing ourselves. And, you know, it's kind of a funny inside joke about itself because that's pretty much the process that ended up making most of our casting decisions for us, is we just, you know, didn't have the resources of actors, so we had to do it ourselves.
So how did you raise the money? How did you pull together all the resources? How did you do it?
I really owe that to my father because what happened was, you know, the team of producers, which were Jeff Moreland, Jeff Moore, John Moore, and David Huestis, of course, we got together and we talked about what we wanted to do with the project. And then, you know, Jeff Moreland, who's been a general contractor for a very long time, very successful man, said, you know what, you're going to need a lot more resources than what you think for this project. So let's find out, let's go back to the industry guidebooks here and find out what it's going to cost us to do this production.
Mm.
And he walked us through that process. He told Dad what the final number was, what we were going to need, and we figured it would probably be around $250,000.
Okay, now what does this look like? Does this look like what you see on the film where you're all sitting around the dinner table and saying, okay, we've got to do this, and what's it going to take to make it happen? Does it look
Absolutely.
Like what we see in the movie?
You know, it's funny, that's exactly what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all sit around the dinner table, and Mom cooks a breakfast, and we have hash browns, and we have eggs, and we have bacon, and we sit there and we talk about, that's right, gentlemen, we're going to be feature film producers.
Yeah.
And so then Dad took it from there, and he ran with it and found, of course, the connections he's made over the years, different very godly businessmen who were interested in making this thing happen, who became investors in the project, and we took it from there.
And the funny thing is, actually, the dinner table you see in the movie is the same one that the ideas were thrown back and forth around, and that's where this movie started, is at that dinner table you see in the movie.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's beautiful, guys. Hey, you know, as you begin to set out to do this film, you did a lot of the writing, producing, directing, acting yourselves, really. I mean, you guys all contributed to that. Sounds to me like you got to be a little bit that multitasking throughout the process. Is that difficult to do? Is it hard to focus when you've got to be doing all these different aspects at the same time?
It's very hard to focus, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Of course, you know, because of our situation and the way that we had already established the different characters in the film and the way that the project was written, you know, it definitely called for it, but we wouldn't encourage it as an easy route by any means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, part of bringing a biblical worldview to bear is to rightly define between good and evil. Obviously, that's a big part of it. And today you've got, you know, evil in your average Hollywood flick, I think, is probably the narrow-minded Christian bigot or the good guy is the guy who robs the banks and chases the skirts and looks effeminate and kills as indiscriminately as possible. That's sort of the way that the good guy is described, okay? And but now you're going back to the Word of God. You're saying, okay, let's define good and evil in the right way. How do you construct your villains? How do you do that in the film? How do you bring that biblical perspective to bear, guys, as you produce these motion pictures?
Well, of course, we believe that any act which violates the laws of God, or any act which pulls down what God has established as good, is, of course, a villainous act. And so there are various acts of villainy in the film. There are even a couple of acts of villainy from major characters in the film, but those actions are corrected as the film plays on. But the truly villainous characters we crafted out of our own experiences, just, you know, running into different challenges that we run into. Of course, the main villain in the film is a reporter by the name of Vince Warner, who has taken the story on the Moore family and has just absolutely twisted and thrown out of shape the facts about who they are and what they're trying to do. And he has really destroyed a good name in the community. We were trying to find out what he could do, and we thought that damaging property wasn't enough. He needed to attempt to destroy their good name,
yeah,
because that's something that I think is a common struggle amongst homeschool families, is just the gossip battles that get played.
Oh, man. What you're saying is bad guys lie, they create straw men, and they break down the ministries of guys like, Kevin Swanson, Doug Phillips, Vodi Bakum. I'm just throwing out some names here. Yeah, they do that. They destroy reputations. They lie. They lie about what we say. They take us out of context. They twist it. And then we start looking rather evil ourselves. Yeah, that kind of thing is pretty common. But you know what? You guys also basically say that tyranny is evil, which is, I know that's a shocker. That's a shocker to the average American today. You mean big government tyranny is evil? No way! Big government tyranny is our friend! You know, that's why we elect these tyrants. That's what the average American thinks. But you guys are still standing up and saying, no, tyranny is evil. You actually agree with guys like Patrick Henry and John Adams.
Right. One of the things we understood about our film, and this is part of being intellectually honest, we knew that the primary audience for our film was going to be young people. And so we wanted to create some messages, create some scenes that would help young people understand where we're at right now. I guess I think what happens is so many young people grow up thinking that the way it is the way it's always been, and the way it is the norm. And so they, instead of interpreting the world through a biblical worldview, they interpret the world through they have a worldview of the world as it stands, and thus anything that's different from the world as it stands is wrong.
Yeah.
But what we wanted to do is we wanted to show, you know, hey, maybe this is the kind of mayor that you have. He's a guy who people kind of like. He's done some good things. He's done some bad things. But the problem is he's got the wrong motivations as a whole. And so his own election is the only thing that's making his decisions for him.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to create that image for kids so they could see it and say, you know what, maybe he's not necessarily a terribly villainous person. Maybe he seems like a good guy, but you know what, his motivations are still wrong, and it leads to tyranny.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the same with with Vince Warner, the reporter. We wanted to show, you know, sometimes when you see these reports and you see these slanderous things, you got to remember who made that, who crafted that piece of media. And we understand the kids now, every time they see a cult report after watching The Widow's Mite, they're going to look at that and they're going to say, you know, I'm not so sure I should take this at face value. And that's what we wanted to have happen.
John, what do you think is your general impression of Christians in filmmaking today? You know, are you encouraged with what's going on? Or you think there's room for improvement in terms of worldview, in terms of content, in terms of production value, whatever? How are Christians doing? What's the grade?
Well, I think within the quote Christian movement of film, it's much like the Christian movement of music. Of course, we have the true Christian artists like Johann Sebastian Bach, who I don't think anybody would argue had a Christian worldview in the creation of his content. But then there are those who, under the Christian banner, create cheap knockoffs of worldly entertainment. And the problem is it's not effective. And the same has happened in film. And so we've got two movements right now. We've got the movement of aspiring culture changers who really desire with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to go out there and to create biblical messages in a really God-honoring way and come across with what Christ would have wanted to show on the screen. And then there's another movement where there's people who are creating cheap knockoffs of worldly entertainment in attempts to satisfy a niche market.
Mm-hmm.
What's great is that we're finally seeing that latter, that villainous sort of filmmaking going away. It's starting to subside and be replaced by this God-honoring industry. And more so now than ever, we're seeing that kind of movement. And I am personally thrilled.
Yeah, and it looks to me like the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival is almost head and shoulders above anything else that's really happening culture-wise in the Christian market today. I mean, you had 2,500 people there shouting and screaming on their feet while John Moore and David Huestis walked up to get the $101,000 prize. That just seemed to me to be a historical moment in the self-conscious application of a biblical worldview to our cultural scene today.
Oh, absolutely. And it really was a victory. It wasn't a victory for John Moore and David Huestis. That's what's beautiful. And it's what Stephen Kendrick told me after the whole thing was over. He says, you know what? I am thrilled. He said, this just put wind in the sails of every single Christian filmmaker in the audience because they know they can honor God and be rewarded for it. They know they can honor God and have an immediate response from the audience saying, yes, we want you to honor God with your films. And he was thrilled. We were thrilled. I think everybody there that has this vision for Christian entertainment really understands that this was a victory for all of us.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Moore and David Huestis, producers of The Widow's Mite and winners of the largest cash award for any film festival in the country, $101,000. What are you going to do with your money?
Well, of course, the money goes back into the business, and it goes back to those investors who so faithfully committed to us when there was very little reason to. They didn't have a finished product in their hands. They had a screenplay, and they said, okay, guys, run with it.
Yeah.
And so now it's gone back to them. Of course, we're thankful. We capped the investments in the project far early because we came in so far under budget, and we're thankful for that. And but still, we got a long way to go. We need to sell some DVDs.
Yeah, you got to distribute the film. How are you going to do that?
Well, there are a lot of options before us right now, and we're in prayer, and we're meeting around that dinner table again quite often. In fact, just last night, we were meeting in our front room talking about that. There's a lot of things that we can choose to do at this point, and we've just got to be ever in prayer to find out what the right option is.
Yeah, and how can folks get a copy of The Widow's Mite?
Right at this time, there are two ways that we recommend. One, you can go to thewidowscry.com or widowsmitethemovie.com. and purchase a copy of the festival cut on DVD as well as the soundtrack. Or you can go to behemoth.com, which is the revolutionary Christian digital download store. It's behemoth.com, B-E-H-E-M-O-T-H.com, and purchase a digital download of the film there.
Very good. All right, John Moore, David Huestis, what's next? You guys not going to quit at this point, are you?
No, we will not be retiring, and we have a lot of ideas on our plate. One of which is another musical feature film to follow up The Widow's Mite, which would pursue the story of a young man trying to get married, which is a really interesting story, especially with the way things are set up today. But I really like that idea. I think it would be a fantastic feature film idea. We have another feature film idea that we'd love to do, a good old-fashioned cowboy story. But again, that's just like our distribution. We're on our knees.
Okay, you pick up the $101,000 prize. You're 19 and 20 years of age. You've produced three or four films. And here you are at 19, 20 years of age picking up a huge cash prize at a film festival in America. What kind of message does that send, guys, to other aspiring young Christian filmmakers?
Well, that's exactly what we were just talking about a minute ago, that it puts wind in their sails.
Yeah.
It tells them, you know, you guys are going the right direction. You know, be diligent, be focused. Because ultimately, age does not make a difference. What makes a difference is, are you honoring the Lord with your work? Are you pursuing excellence? And the judges at the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival desire to honor that. And we're ever so thankful for you guys. Thank you, Mr. Swanson. I never did get a chance to personally thank you. I know you guys deliberated for days and days and days because that must have been such a difficult decision with so many excellent films coming into the festival.
And that is true. We're getting better and better film submissions at the film festival with which I serve as a judge. And it was tough this year. There were a lot of really good submissions. We're talking Fireproof, Expelled, of course, The Widow's Mite, and The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. Some very, very good films produced this year. And I think we're only going to see an improvement in the years to come. And I'm excited with what God has for us.
I really hope your job gets tougher.
Yeah.
I hope that the films coming in keep getting better and better, and to the point where you almost can't bear it because there's so many films that are Best of Festival winners. That's exactly what we hope will happen, and I really look forward to seeing more and more young filmmakers in that mix. Of course, there were a few of us this year, and I just hope there's more and more to come, and it's just exciting to me. It really is. Again, I don't feel like that grand prize going to The Widow's Mite was a victory for John Moore and David Huestis. I feel like it was a victory for all of the young filmmakers who are pursuing excellence in their craft.
Well, I think we will look for a veritable explosion in Christian filmmaking in the years to come. I could just feel the rumblings, gentlemen, and it's going to be very, very significant, and I think that God will be glorified and the kingdom of Jesus Christ will expand as we begin to bring our worldview to bear in cultural manifestations and incarnations. And we appreciate the work you did with The Widow's Mite, gentlemen. Congratulations on the winning of the prize, and let me recommend that folks pick up a copy of that Widow's Mite at behemoth.com or widowscry.com on the web. Thanks a lot, guys, for joining us in Generations. John Moore and David Huestis, producers of The Widow's Mite.
Thank you.
And folks, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we cast another vision for the next generation.